Welcome to the Well Read Dames podcast. I'm Ashley.
I'm Susie.
I'm Alicia.
And we are here to talk to you today about Astrid Parker Doesn't Fail by Ashley Herring Blake.
Yay!
Yay! Woohoo! This is the second book in the Bright Falls series. Mm-hmm. I remember the name of it. Nice. I was like, Mystic Falls. No.
Right.
That's Vampire
Diaries. We are also in the middle of a rewatch of Vampire Diaries.
We're rewatching Vampire Diaries.
I'm rewatching. Ash is watching it for the first time.
Okay, I'm watching it for the first time. And then there's also the place that Gilmore Girls is based off of, which is like something very similar.
Yeah.
I never
watched. Stars Hollow?
Stars Hollow. Yeah. That reminds me of, you know, our next book that we're going to be reading. Mm. So, you know, so all of these cute, like, fantasy little places all sound the same to me.
Yep.
So it's the Bright Falls series. Mm-hmm. We previously read Delilah Green Doesn't
Care.
There we go. I was like, date, care, fuck. She does fuck.
Yeah, she does.
And so we read that one. That podcast is currently available. I'm midway between, I need to finish my editing on The Mist of Avalon that will then come out, boom, and be published. And then this one's next. So if you're listening to this now, it's in the future. And I've already edited and published this. And it's great. There's a third book in this series, the Bright Falls series, which comes out this month.
Yay.
Which is
pre-ordered.
Yes, good for you. I've not done that yet.
I haven't done that yet.
But it's Iris Kelly Doesn't Date.
Yes.
So Iris is a character in this book and in Delilah Green Doesn't Care. Mm-hmm. She's a lovely side character. Mm-hmm. And I personally enjoy her because she is red hair, big boob, big mouth, just like me. But besides that, we have very, very solid differences here and there, mostly because I would never put y'all on blast in the way that she does her friends.
Thank you.
Because of love, because I know you would be humiliated.
Yes.
I think about it and then I don't do it. See, it's the difference. Impulse control.
Yes.
So,
same thing.
And so we are going to talk today about Astrid's book, and we are excited to talk about that. I'm issuing a spoiler warning right now. Boom. Here it is. If you've not read this book and you don't want spoilers, please pause this podcast and check this book out. It's a really quick read. It's very enjoyable. It's very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this book was lovely. But here's your spoiler warning, especially if you didn't read Delilah Green.
You really should.
You should mm-hmm. read that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
they build. I mean, it's, I guess you can read it without it, but it like builds, especially on their relationship with Delilah.
It does. And Astrid. I really like Astrid's story. Mm-hmm. I did love a lot of the aspects of this. I was let down by one thing, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
But either way, it was very, very good. But I think I like Delilah Green's book better still thus far. That was still my favorite because I like those characters more.
Yeah.
But I do love Astrid's journey, and I love the just like the uncomfortableness of it that comes along with it.
I liked it a lot better than I thought it would. I wasn't sure because like Astrid's character was just so high strung.
There's a lot.
There's a reason.
Though. Yes. But absolutely. But I was like worried that she wouldn't have the growth that I think she needed, and she did. So that made me really happy.
One of the things I like about this author is that she does a good job of like showing both sides. Like people have shit going on in their heads.
Oh yeah.
And you don't always get that in romances. Like one of my things I hate the most is when people hold things back, like
mm-hmm.
something that advances the stories because they're lying to each other. But in this, they're not outright lying. I don't know if I'm saying this the right way. It doesn't bother me in this. Like they're holding things back because they just don't understand. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's not a miscommunication trope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I perceive that I'm not good enough for you. So I'm going to back away, especially mm-hmm. at the end. And then Jordan is like, I perceive that you're walking away from me because you don't like me. And it's like, but the internal shit.
Yeah.
And I think she does a good job of making that so it doesn't bother me.
I agree. I did definitely think we were not going to get a happily ever after for like just the tiniest amount of time with this book.
Yeah.
And luckily it's not what happened. But I was like, damn, I think they broke up. But we'll get into all of this.
Yeah, I feel that way. I knew it was
going to be. It's a happily ever after, listener. If you listen to my spoiler warning, you're still listening right now, like this book ends happy. It's worth a read still.
You're welcome.
If I would tell you, even though it's a spoiler, if this book ended in heartbreak and you were sad at the end, so it doesn't. So it's a happily ever after. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for Iris Kelly Doesn't Date as well, which comes out this month sometime, the 12th. It might be out already. I don't know. But it comes out at some point this month in October, and we will be reading that down the line because I think we're all pretty excited for that book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what we're reading next.
Nope.
Because we have been waiting since the beginning of this year, several podcast episodes ago, but not as many as it should have been, but still several, for when we read Once Upon a Broken Heart and The Ballad of Never After, a book that ripped out my heart personally and stomped on it and then put it back inside of me and was like, wait until October. And at first it was like, wait until September. And then the book got pushed back another month. And I was like, oh, heartbreak again. So here we are. It comes out like from where we are right now. It comes out in like 11 days. It comes out on the 24th. I took that Friday off to read it. I'm currently rereading Once Upon a Broken Heart right now. And we, our prior podcast episodes cover that book and then the sequel about Never After. And then the third book in the series is called A Curse for True Love. These are, of course, by Stephanie Garber, who wrote the Caraval series, which we also read and did a podcast episodes about. Mm-hmm. We are all very emotionally invested in this third book.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't wait. It's very hard. And Stephanie Garber keeps posting quotes of it, which I love. Thank you for doing that. But at the same time, one of the last ones ripped out my heart and we were all in emotional distress about it. So, you know, we'll get into that next episode because we're going to read that next.
Yay.
So that is coming next. I'm
so excited.
If you've not read these books, please do. Please like take this as like every 5-star review that you need to convince you to buy a book for like $12 or whatever books cost. And just read them. The paperbacks are gorgeous. The hardbacks are gorgeous. Like it's just, the whole book is amazing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I feel bad for you emotionally, but it's amazing. So that's what we're doing next. We're so excited.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Woo.
Yay. Yes. I'm so torn up about this, you guys. And now that I'm rereading Once Upon a Broken Heart for the second time, because I've read Ballad of Never After twice. Susie has read that one at least twice too.
I've read both at least twice.
I think you have read both twice. So this is my first time reading Once Upon a Broken Heart again. And I'm just like taking like pictures, I'm not screenshotting it. I'm reading the physical book. So I'm taking pictures of it and like highlighting it on my phone, not in my real book. Just moments that are foreshadowing or things that I didn't catch. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, like I, from reading the book, well, both books and then the second one twice, there's so much that I missed on my first read. Yeah. So if you've read the first two at the beginning of the year and you've waited, maybe read them again, because I'm telling you, I'm catching things and I'm laughing and I'm like, oh, I totally completely missed like so many lines that you're just like, nah, that, did, you know, whatever. I don't know what that meant.
Yeah.
And then you keep going. You're like, oh,
I read the Once Upon a Broken Heart twice, and the second time reading, I definitely caught more than the first time. I haven't read the second one yet because book obligations, but
well,
jealous that you are.
Yeah. I mean, I would,
if I had the time, I did.
So we're so excited. Yay. Join us for A Curse of True Love, or Curse for True Love, and better in the way we want it to. That's all I'm saying. So yay. So we can now, we've given a spoiler warning. We've talked about what we're going to do next. Stephanie Garber, I think I said that that's who those books are by, but let's get into Astra Parker Doesn't Fail. So let's talk about the beginning of this book, because the beginning of this book was previewed in the prior book. There's like, oh, I want to talk about what I'm disappointed in first. I'm sorry. Yeah. Because it doesn't actually have anything to do with the book.
Okay.
So this book is listed, I believe, in the paranormal romance section.
Is it?
On Amazon. They reference that there.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. What? They reference that there is a ghost called the Blue Lady that is in the house that Astrid is renovating in this book. This book is very fun. HGTV vibes. Mm-hmm. She's crushing on the contractor. Like, there's a lot going on. It's very fun. But my problem is that we introduced a ghost character that I, one, don't really feel like does very much.
No.
She slams a door twice. Like, we don't really have a ghost. And so that's my problem is, one, I kind of thought we were going to get a ghost romance, or at least a ghost coordinating these two people coming together.
I agree.
Yeah. And we didn't. And I'd rather there just not be a ghost at all, or that the ghost be more involved. Also, would you guys do a paranormal romance with a ghost? Let's talk about it.
Wait, like where the ghost is the love interest?
Yes.
I mean, isn't your favorite Christmas movie?
I don't think it's your favorite.
It's not my favorite.
It's called The Spirit of Christmas.
I do love The Spirit of Christmas.
We do enjoy that because he's a hot ghost.
He's
and
then
at the end, he, spoiler alert, randomly isn't a ghost at the end.
He becomes alive.
So they can have sex. My problem is, how do you have sex with a ghost?
What if you can't?
So there would have to be a way.
What if you can feel like the ghost?
Like a succubus or something like that?
No, not a succubus. It's so gross. That sucks your soul.
What's the other one? There's one where...
A poltergeist?
No. There's like, a term for a ghost that does, basically it's like kind of like a ghost figure, but it's able to. I'm trying to think what it's called. So there's like an eye or something. I can't remember the word right now. I'm not really into it, but like
incubus?
Maybe it's incubus.
Yeah. An incubus is a guy that like sucks your energy when you have sex.
So no.
Because it's the opposite of a succubus. This is fascinating. And I actually do enjoy this conversation.
I know I've like read something about this.
One of the smutty books I read is based on the Tempest.
Oh, yeah.
And she's stuck on the island and they're spirits. I'm using air quotes. But they also go corporeal.
Okay. Yeah.
So he can like fly and be like mist, and they can like do stuff to her misty wise, and then they turn corporeal. So that I'd be down.
Like almost like in the Lady of the Rooksgrave Manor, where the one guy's cursed to be invisible.
True. Yeah.
Kind
of like that. Not a ghost. You can feel him, and then you can hear him.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
And so if it was like an invisible force that was a ghost, but that you can feel them, would you be
in? Fun. But then you can't like go on dates, really. But I guess if you're in love and you're like having great sex,
everyone will just think you're really independent.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Or maybe a little crazy, depending on how.
Right.
Or if you live in a cute small town where like magic is normal, because that's the dream. Right?
That's the dream.
Exactly.
So basically, I would be in on all of this. I'm down to clown with Ghost Dick. But that's not what happens in this book.
So here's what I wanted based on what you were saying. And I didn't think about it until I saw your note on Instagram where you were like, I wanted more from the ghost. This has nothing to do with
I like, broke in Alicia. I think
that's so funny. I'm just imagining her like having like a Bluetooth like thing so she doesn't look crazy. She's like talking to someone that around. Just looks like she's like on her phone, like having a conversation. Setting for something.
Just like making out with the air.
So in the book, the moment, okay, I'm just getting started. The moment she's losing it.
Yep.
The moment where Jordan, you've already read the book, so we don't need to go in order.
Yeah.
Jordan like sees the light and then what I wanted was like they're both there working different places. They both see this light and they have to go investigate. And it turns out the ghost was on the call. Like I wanted stuff like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if making it the paranormal air quotes is more about the tarot cards than anything. I don't know. Cause the tarot cards have more to do with anything than the ghost.
I agree.
That's what drives the story a little.
I feel like also I'm okay with like the legend of the blue lady and things like that. But like just don't label it paranormal at all. Just like leave it.
And
as
the author
it
didn't
is.
Do that to be
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, but
right?
Like whoever did, I don't like, think just so. Don't go there because you didn't give us enough to actually make that what it is. And that's misleading. If you just left it there and it's like, oh, there's this weird ghost situation, like fun. But like, I wouldn't be like, not that I knew, but I wouldn't be like, oh, where's this ghost really going to come into the story? Like, you apparently were.
Yeah.
The ghost had zero expectations for this ghost.
And like, there were cool things they could have used. Like, she was trapped in the wardrobe for like 3 days, like make the wardrobe fly open or something.
Yeah.
And like, have a hidden bracelet. I don't know. Like, I just wish there was more.
Yeah. Or even if the ghost could just talk to her and be like, you know,
in
like
a dream or something.
Yeah. Like in a dream or something. Like, you know how you really feel, you know? Yeah. Hand her the tarot card. Like, you know what this means. And then like splashes of coffee. Like, this is really very plainly written for you to understand the connection between what's going on.
Yeah.
And yet she's like, why do we keep pulling the two of cups? And I'm like,
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with a hot blonde. You dump coffee all over at the very beginning of this book.
Can I talk about the things that I do like?
Absolutely. I just needed to get that out of the way because there's nothing to do with the story. But go ahead.
No one I know listens to this, and you guys know this. I recently realized that I am bisexual, like at the age of 39 years old. And I'm Catholic and come from a very strict household. So the moment when Astrid goes to Delilah, which I love that she goes to her, even though at one point she's like, I don't even really like Delilah, but still that I love their relationship. Mm-hmm. So she's like talking to her and she's like, I had a sex dream about a girl. What does that mean? And she's like, it means you had a sex dream about a girl. But anyway, she's like, but I'm not gay. Like, this is never. And then she like starts thinking through things. And she's like, well, that one time I looked at that girl's butt and really liked it. Like she started remembering things. And I'm like, this is literally what I did last year.
Right.
So it was really interesting to be like, oh yeah, those things might mean something else.
Yeah.
So I like that we get a coming out And she's like 30, you know, yeah. It's not like she's a teen. Like everyone else is like, I came out when I'm a teenager. Like literally everyone in this book is gay.
Yeah.
J-Lo, even the 12-year-old daughter at the end, yeah, she's like, cool, I'm gay too. And she's like, awesome. I did not know that at 12. No. You know, it's like, I love that you know that about yourself, but I identified with her. I don't identify with Astrid in any other way.
Yeah. Right.
At all. I'm a Claire. And Delilah is my type. We'll put it that way. I appreciated that. Got dark hair and tattoos.
Here's the deal. That's my type regardless of gender.
Right? Same.
Regardless of gender. I have a type. It does not matter what your gender is, apparently. But like, hi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except we're both married. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like our type, I don't think it's necessarily attached to gender. I think that, and I mean, it depends on like where you fall on the spectrum of gender. Attraction to people,
yeah.
But you know, I feel like if you like people with dark hair and tattoos, if you like that's gonna be your type. If you like girls, I think that's gonna be your type. If you like both, it's gonna be your type.
Yeah,
because you like dark hair and tattoos.
I need to get tattoos on my husband. We're working on it.
There you go. So I think that like that's, I don't know, when people are like, I have a type, and I'm like, okay, and I think that applies to whatever type of person you like.
Yeah,
you know.
But anyway, I appreciated a coming out story of an older air quotes.
Lady. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to talk about something else, which is unrelated.
Yes, go for it.
I love Ashley Herring Blick. I think you're a great author. I love your books. I love your characters. Can they please stop being like, oh, I'm 30 years old or I'm almost 30 years old. Like their life is about to be over, as if they need to have everything figured out by the time they're 30. Like Astrid's like, I'm 30 and not married. And I'm such a failure. And I'm like, I totally get that. That's like a crisis. Perspective of a certain type of person. But that's, I feel like that's going the way of the dinosaur a little bit.
I am following a lead right now.
I love that you're following the lead.
I'm trying to figure out how old Ashley Herring Blake is, because maybe it's,
are you having a crisis? Thing. Ashley, are you Ashley to Ashley?
Is.
Are you having a crisis?
That's what I think, because that's what I was thinking when I was reading it.
Yeah.
Because I definitely hate that as well. Like I definitely, when I turned 30, did feel some kind of sadness. I really wasn't in crisis, but all my friends were married at that point. They all bought houses. Some were having kids, very established career. And I was not there, still not there. But I like bought my house before I turned 30.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing it in my career, but I wasn't in a relationship with anyone. So like, I did feel like some sort of like a failure, just when you look at it that way. But then I was also like, I'm just not there yet. You know what I mean? So I was okay with it. And then someone got divorced and I was like, well,
she was born in 1980.
You know, like,
okay. So she is 40.
Okay.
So she wrote these over the last couple of years.
So I feel like she should know.
Yeah.
She should know that 30 is not the end.
Maybe she felt like 30 was the end,
but
she's putting that into her characters.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or maybe she's trying to capture a certain audience.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she's just trying to capture that, you know, new age romance, you know, whatever. Yeah. Maybe studying books with people in their mid-30s is sad. I don't think it is, but you know.
I like reading them because usually they're more mature, usually. Not always, but I appreciate that because like, I definitely appreciate reading like the younger adult books, but someone's really 18 or 19 and it's just kind of like,
I hope Iris doesn't do that, because Iris really seems like the one that would not give a fuck, you know?
About being 30.
About being 30.
Yeah, I hope not.
Hopefully
not. So anyway, I just noticed it between both books.
Yeah.
Between both books, it was like an internal crisis concern.
Also, I feel like that would be very much something that Isabel, the mom, was pushing on both of those girls.
Oh, absolutely.
True.
So especially Astrid.
Especially Astrid. That made 100% sense.
She was supposed to have her shit together out of college, to be honest.
Yeah. At the ripe age of 22. Yeah. You should have everything figured out in your life, girls.
Yeah.
You should have your man. You should have 2.5 children en route. You need a white picket fence. You need a career that's not too demanding of you, but it needs to be also very prestigious.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Dress for the ninth all the time. Do not look rough or messy.
Heels, pearls, class. Yeah. You know. So Astrid,
none of those things.
Yeah,
are me.
No, not at all. Me either. So Astrid had like a really rough go of it, I feel like, personally growing up with her mother. Because as much as In Delilah Green doesn't care, we get like Delilah's rejection of this sort of upbringing and mindset. And like, she was always the rebel. She always rebelled. That's why she and her stepmother, Isabel, have so many issues. Part of it is that she refused to fall in line.
Yeah.
You know, And I respect and love that about her. Mm-hmm. And that's the part of her I identify mm-hmm. with, because I was
oh,
yeah. like,
oh, I don't yeah. identify with that at all, but I find it sexy.
As someone that fought with everyone growing up and still to this day, I was like, yes, tell them no, like tell them no and tell them why, you know? And, but poor Astrid didn't do that. Astrid was like, yes, mom. Yes, 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 yes. I'll do what you say. I'll sit when you say sit. She's like a well-trained dog, you know, like, and my dogs are not well-trained, you know? And then she has to kind of realize that that isn't who she is or who she wants to be, at least going forward. And I don't think it's who she ever really was, you know? And so I really enjoyed that journey. And along that journey, she does realize that she's bisexual, mm-hmm. if not just like completely into women, because if anything, Spencer, I feel she's like could make you swear off orgasm. Of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Never with another person and she ever had an orgasm.
Yeah. It is so sad.
Yeah.
People out there are living that life and it makes me really sad. Yep. And they don't know better or they think that that's just how it is. That's
how it is. Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
No. Go to a sex shop. Go to
see a sex therapist. If you're really that worried, like marrying your partner, they can that's help you navigate that.
Yes. Amazon sells lots of sex toys and they just ship to your house.
Well, but she's had an orgasm with like her fingers.
I feel like she kind of went through that on her own, like after the Spencer. And
I think you're right.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, I feel like she had that journey of having orgasms after the relationship with Spencer, even, you know? And so, yeah.
It also seemed like she chose men in particular that were probably more self-serving, where they like,
of course she did.
You know, that's what didn't mom focus was. At all on her. Like they just weren't giving in that way. So then she just was like, oh, this is what it is, you know?
Because she was raised that they shouldn't serve her. She should serve them.
And so, yeah.
And that I was it in the closet, I think, like, so their sex scene starts in a closet.
Yes.
Which I thought was so cute.
Funny. Yeah.
And then like Jordan starts to go, well, first she gives her an orgasm without even like physically touching her, which that was pretty hot. And then she starts to go down on her and she's like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't think she actually says it, but it's like, did anyone ever do this to you?
I don't know. Like, yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
That was the like who hurt you moment.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Who hurt you? Yeah. So yeah, so our two characters, one is Astra, we talked about her, she's in the last book, we like her, we already kind of have a sense of who she is, she's a type A, really loves control kind of person, and but like her business and everything, her life's kind of fallen apart since she broke up with Spencer at the end of the prior book, and now she's on her own.
Yeah.
And we realized that her super, like, I was impressed by her for running this design business, because that's very impressive to me.
Yeah.
But we realized that, I mean, she still is impressive, but she doesn't just run this design business. Her mother is her main investor.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's like she and her mom run a design business, and also her mom is in control of everything we learned. Her mom approves her designs.
But she didn't even know.
She didn't even know. She was like, she stopped doing this years ago, but like, really, she never stopped. You know, her mom is all in the business. She runs all the money. She holds all the control. So even in Astrid's own business that she owns, it's her independent thing that she does.
Yeah.
She is actually not in control. That's all a facade. Isabel is still in control. And she started to realize, do I even like this job? Like, is this even a thing I like doing?
Well, because when she sees Jordan, who is, she's a contractor, she's a carpenter, and she's also part of the Everwoods, because that's the inn that they have to go remake, or whatever you want to call it, update. Whatever.
Renovate
is the word. But anyway, so you read the book. So you know that Jordan basically comes up with the design. And she sees how passionate Jordan is, and she's like, this is weird. Like, you're more passionate about my job than I am.
Right.
Which is really sad, because it you is. Should be, especially in a creative business like that.
Well, and I feel have passion. Bad for Ashton, the fact that, like, it seemed like she did good work when for all the things that she did, but they were always very, like, modern, cookie clean, cookie cutter. And I feel like that's what the clients that she did have wanted as well. And also when she met with the grandma, especially the brother, that's what they led with, what they wanted.
Yes.
So she, while it wasn't very inspired, delivered on what she knew and what she was told by the clients that they wanted. I agree. It was definitely not the right fit for the house, but I felt for her, because it's like, that had to hurt a little bit when you're like, you're doing what you're asked. And then to realize it was not what you thought. You know what I mean? To realize, like, it's kind of like a letdown, like, oh, Gray again.
But if she, you know, if she cared about her job, she would have figured that out.
Oh, she should. Yeah, and I think that was, like, a sign.
Like, I just don't care.
I don't think she really knew it until that moment, how much she didn't care. Because it kind of fell into her lap, right?
It did.
Yeah.
And her mom was just like, here.
Here's this business you're going
to
run.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, the grandmother that owns the inn, so the Everwoods own this inn. It's the Everwood Inn. It's her grandmother owns the inn, and her brother is a partner in it, and he's an author, and Jordan's having her own problems, but she's just moved back home. And so it's her family inn. So it's the place that she and her brother grew up living in the summers. It's very important to her personally. So in a way, it was obvious to me that Jordan's gonna have a more vested interest in this renovation than Astrid, who's just hired to come and do her job.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the grandmother and Jordan were familiar with her work and hired her because they like what she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wanted a hot modern feel for their kind of spooky, out of date inn to bring in clients, because for them, the financial stability of this inn is completely on the backs of this renovation.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go well, if the show doesn't get made, so they don't get free publicity, basically, they're going to have to sell the inn.
And they had to pay for the renovations. So they had to, like, take out loans. And stuff.
Yeah. They had to take out a loan for like $100,000 or something for this renovation. And so, and Jordan doesn't know all of this, but she learns this throughout the course of the book.
Yeah.
And Astrid doesn't know this either. Mm-hmm. She just knows she's going to get paid and she's going to be on TV. So Astrid wants the exposure from the show. The grandmother wants the exposure of the show. And so does the brother. And so, yeah. And then of course we have, I mean, I liked her, but the bitchy HGTV host that came in and then called Astrid's design uninspired.
I
was like, okay, maybe it was, because even if if you do every house essentially the same design palette, you should still customize it to the space. You know, you still need to incorporate, like, that's what the real HGTV designers, I feel like, do.
Yeah.
Is they say, you know, we love this, but this was an old farmhouse. And how do we keep that? The accents can be that or something. Like, we want to keep this original fireplace because it's amazing and it's cast iron and it really inhabits the space.
Yeah.
So I feel like Astrid wasn't there with it, I guess.
I
but still, it was kind of shitty to call her design uninspired on television.
Yeah.
But I think she liked the drama too, a little bit.
She liked it too much, I think.
Yeah.
Which is funny to me, because it seems like if she liked the drama so much, she could have leaned into that with the whole Astrid's not the real designer.
Yeah.
Like, they could have leaned into that instead of just pulling the plug.
I completely agree. I really thought they were going to do that. Like,
Astrid
that conversation and even like Astrid being like, you know what? Jordan, actually, she's the one that came up with this. And we decided to collaborate together and let her be more of the lead. And I was going to help her support with my contacts and knowledge.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, wanted me to have the credit, but it just didn't feel right. And we actually are in love now. Like, I really thought it was going to be some sort of
the love story.
Like, I think that would have been like quite the turn of events. No one would have seen that coming, but also, like, it would have been like, oh my gosh, moment, you know,
so much more interesting than, oh, we wasted all this money.
Yeah.
Bye. Like, that did bother me a little bit. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of drama here.
Well, and I also hated, like, in that moment when Jordan proposed that, like, obviously Astrid didn't say no, but she felt some kind of way. And she even said, like, are you sure? She's like, no. Cause it was like, I don't think Jordan was really ready to take the responsibility or take the ownership yet either.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so I kind of felt bad for Astrid because she knew it was wrong and she even asked her, but she was like, no, you need this. And this is what I want. So she went with it. And then the guilt just really set in every day.
The other thing that bothered me is it was technically Jordan's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the near the end, when Meredith comes to her and finds her having sex in the closet, and she's like, that girl is trying to steal your stuff. And then she starts spiraling. She's like, is Astrid just using me? I'm like, it was your idea, girl.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like she suddenly lost
up with it.
She lost the perspective and like, oh my God, you're right. And it's like, whoa. And like, I felt like they never gave Astrid the credit of that. They just let it look like Astrid created that entire thing herself. And that kind of hurt a little bit because I was like, that wasn't her idea. She did go along with it, but like, she didn't propose it.
Nope.
No.
You know,
so I think she was ready to maybe step back. Like, I think she even proposed like co-designers, which at that point, that would also cause drama to be like, hey, I hated this person, but we're going to work together for the good of this thing.
Yeah.
Like, Why didn't they do that? Because they did say that they used some of her design, like the herringbone wall.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not as much, but, you know, I feel like they could have done that.
I agree.
I do think it would have been good TV to show the compromise, because we saw the Discord at the beginning. We saw them butting heads. They kept filming them at the antique shop fighting about things. Mm-hmm. And then if instead you saw them start to collaborate together and work together and kind of find a middle ground. And then you could have brought in the fact that Jordan is not just the head carpenter. She's also an Everwood. Yeah. And this is her family end. So she should have some sway.
Yeah.
You know, and then bring her brother and grandma on board with these ideas. Yeah. But instead it was like, it has to be the secret.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, I definitely agree. Like, it could have been done, because I can't tell my HGTV shows I've seen where that's been a thing. Like, what's the show, Good Bones, that has finally finished here, but like the mother and daughter, that a lot of times they were a little bit at odds of style, because like Mina definitely liked more modern and things like that, and her mom was more like fairy and farmhouse and just different things, bohemian. But there were times that they like agreed, even though they were like at each other's like at an impasse, and they were like, okay, well, I do agree that this looks better, or like, let's combine the space, like,
yeah.
So yeah, it has been done time and time again. It could have been done in this book. And I was a little disappointed that it wasn't done that way.
Yeah.
For the show, at least. And then after the show wrapped, they could have both changed their career paths to what was, you know, right for them.
Another problem that Jordan's having is that her family doesn't trust her anymore. Yeah. She's kind of lost their faith. She has had a really rough go of things. She kind of had a mental breakdown on a prior job and lit something on fire, which I respect the bold move, less the arson. You know, I mean, I get it where you say you want to burn this place to the ground. That's one thing. But when you actually do, it's a bigger problem.
Yeah.
So she just kind of got fired. And I feel like if anything, got out of that pretty squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
And so basically these, you know, I don't want to say erratic behavior, but just like extreme behavior has concerned her family for her health mentally in general. And, you know, they do not want her fucking this up, essentially, for this, since they have so much writing on it.
I feel like it's the brother. I don't feel like Prue feels any of that.
I would say the brother feels it much more.
Yeah.
But I think Prue did have some concern, and she knew some of it, but I think she was maybe sheltered from it a little bit more than her brother.
Yeah. I feel like because her brother, they were so close. Like, he can see through.
They're twins.
Yeah, they're twins. Mm-hmm. He can see through whatever's going on.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're not okay. You know? And let's talk about Meredith. I don't like Meredith's character, but I also didn't really like her story. I didn't care for this. But basically, Meredith, were they like childhood friends that became lovers?
They met in middle school.
Yeah. So they were like besties that then became girlfriends.
And then in college, she was like, oh, it just kind of happened.
Right. They just, because they made gay marriage legal.
Yeah.
And so they just went to the courthouse and got married, because that's like, what.
I don't even know who proposed.
Yeah. Right.
Like, maybe no one did.
It was like a big event and people were swept up in it. And that's kind of what she realized is like everyone was doing it. So they did it too, you know?
Yeah.
So they just got married and it was wonderful. And Jordan loved this woman very much. And then she got sick, which was terrible, but luckily she recovered.
Yeah.
Although for most of the book, you definitely think she was dead.
Yeah. Yeah. The way she grieved the relationship, but she talked about it, felt like she was like living in the shadow of a ghost.
You
know what I mean?
Yes. And so I did not like that at all.
But
luckily, Meredith survived. But Boo, after getting so sick and going through so much of a traumatic experience, she decided that her life wasn't what she wanted it to be, which I feel like she's completely justified in making that decision, although it was hard for Jordan.
Well, and she even says it at the end. She's like, cool, we shouldn't, you're right. But we should have talked about it.
I agree.
Like, she didn't even sit down and say, this is what I'm feeling. Thank you for being with me throughout my cancer. That's a decent thing to do, but you know, but then I don't feel fulfilled and I got to go, but she didn't get that. She just got bags. She's like, oh, we're great. You're in remission. We're in love. And then she's like, gotta go.
Right.
Yeah. So I get it.
And that's part of why I don't like, that was definitely shitty, you know, but I don't feel like Jordan was owed them staying together because
I don't think she felt that either though.
It kind of felt like it because she was like, I did all of this for you and then you left me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you should have done all this for you because this is the person in your life that you love and care about.
Yeah.
And then if at the end of it, she says, luckily now that I'm healthy again, I don't I want something different for my life, like that's going to obviously be very, very hard and difficult. Yeah. And you have a right to grieve that relationship in the end of it, you know, but at the same time, you love this person. You want them to be happy at the end of the day. So I was happy when I found out she was alive.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really have any beef with her character, but then she comes in at the end and causes drama. And I was like, why is she the villain? Like, we didn't need Meredith to come back and be the villain. Well, I don't feel, you know.
I also got mad with her because to add insult to injury, on top of like leaving without giving actual closure for the relationship, just like literally like fucking off me, like, I'm gonna go travel the world. Bye.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is done. Like, I have no time to process this. I don't have time to talk to you about it. But then she would constantly check in and like call her and like try to act like things were fine. And maybe she cared, but like, you don't get to like break someone's heart, not give them any answers, and then be like, how are you doing? I hope you're doing great. I'm doing all these wonderful things without you every fucking month. Mm-hmm. So like when they finally get to a good point, you just reopen that wound.
Yeah.
Like that is not healthy behavior.
No.
No, it's not.
And like, so that's just not fair. So I felt like it just didn't make things better. But yeah, like the fact that Meredith suddenly got like involved and was like, oh ho ho ho, like look at you doing things. And now I'm gonna like, I don't know if she felt jealous or was trying to just be protective or whatever, but like
we never get clarity.
She jumped to conclusions though, is what she did. And she inserted herself.
Technically the right conclusion, but
She chose to insert herself without even like talking to her.
Again.
When she emailed the HGTV people, what she does is she comes back, she catches Jordan and Astrid after their first romantic moment, really, and then kind of causes problems between everyone, and she's like, Jordan, I snooped around and saw the designs and I know that this is your design, and that this strange woman Astrid, who she obviously is not gonna like no matter what, there's no way she can like Astrid, right, objectively, like even though she ended that relationship, she still obviously has feelings for Jordan. Regardless of what those feelings are, she cares about her, and now there's just this new hot blonde that's completely different than everyone, different than both of them, you know, in the picture. You know, it makes sense that she's not going to trust that person, and she's not going to look at her in the light of innocence. She's going to look at her as like, what do you want out of Jordan?
Absolutely.
You know, in a almost protective way, but also not, you know, cause it's not your business. And so she says like, she's just trying to use you for this relationship because her designs weren't good enough and your designs are amazing. And, you know, and she kind of tries that angle with Jordan, and the one that doesn't work, I feel like when it doesn't work, her meddling doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I love Jordan's brother, cause he's ready to like,
I do like
kick her out of the house. He's you put my sister through so much, you know, all due respect, you have no business here. Please leave.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to just keep coming around and messing her up over and over again. And so, you know, so she, that doesn't work. So what does she do? She emails the HGTV head host person and is like, this is what's really going on that you don't know. And it's like, you don't even know what's going on. You're not a part of any of this, you know? And that's what gets the show canceled.
Yeah.
And then, so she didn't even know, because she's not a part of anything, that the grandmother took this loan out for the renovations, that the entire inn is writing on the show. She didn't know that her intrusive email was going to get the show canceled. She doesn't know anything, you know? And then later she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And I really like that conversation where Jordan was like, this is not the actions of someone that cares about me.
Yeah.
You need, you know, I wish you the best. You need to stop, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I like her character. Like, I felt bad for her. I had so much empathy for her. I could see her side of it, even though we're looking at Jordan's like trauma of like going through the heartbreak of their end of their marriage, you know, and being alone. But at the same time, I was like, you know, everyone has their own journey. But then when she came back and just like meddled at the end, I was like, what's happening right now? I was like,
no, I completely agree. It was just like, you had no right. You had absolutely no right. You were mad that you weren't getting the attention that you desperately sought.
Because she never responds to her texts.
And instead of just dropping it or trusting that there's more to it, you chose actions that resulted in almost fucking everything up.
Right.
And you should feel guilty about that. Because like that not only affected Jordan or Astrid, but the grandma, everyone.
Yeah.
The show, like if you had just backed off, maybe they could have handled it differently and the show wouldn't have been canceled and they could have done something different. Like they looked up and there was an article piece about it. But, like, I still felt like they deserved more. Like, you acted like you wasted a lot of time filming. You still could have finished the show out.
Yeah.
But because of this, you were like, oh, we're so betrayed. Meanwhile, the entire time, you saw the chemistry between them.
Yeah.
Don't act like you didn't expect it. Like, they didn't know what they didn't know, and they weren't ready to make a statement that, yes, we are. Like, they hadn't had that conversation.
Yeah.
So it wasn't fair to assume that they were going to tell you first when they hadn't even had it themselves.
And it's not the business of the HGTV show, what these people are doing in their private lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it also, things that made me mad.
No, I agree. It was also a little disappointing because I assume Natasha was a lesbian as well. We never really fully get that, but it just kind of seems like, given context clues and the clit necklace and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, she's a clitoris.
So I love the clit.
Very so least. I wanted her to be more of like a mentor role to them, to like, look, I can see something's going on here. Yeah, I don't, you know, like anything, but like she, when she caught them almost kissing, she like grilled them and was like almost maybe upset by it. But again, it's like, if they are in a relationship, that would add drama to it. But also like, let them figure it out. Because at that point they clearly had it.
Yeah.
So
it almost seemed like she had her own controlled vision of what she wanted the show to be. And
she's definitely wants to be in control.
But the fact that they didn't even like meet what she needed, that she just chose to scrap it completely without even like budging, you know what I mean? Like, and that says a lot about that too, because if you're really creative and want it to work, like you can make it work, especially when there's a lot more to be shown. Like, she could have spun that, but she was just like, you know, this isn't what the viewers want. I think this would have really popped off.
And I want to see that house. Like,
it looks so cool in my
really want to see. We love gothic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Victorian? Is it a Victorian? Or it's a...
It's a Victorian. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I do too. I want to redo my office in a gothic way, but I'm not like skilled to do this, but...
Oh, I know. I hate a lot of that painting and stuff.
I don't mind painting. I just need it to look the way I want it to look when it's done, and that's what I'm afraid won't happen.
Yeah.
So... I can watch, it doesn't matter how many videos I watch online of someone redoing a room from like just a plain white room to like a gothic masterpiece. I'm like, if I do it, it won't look like that. So, okay. But I also don't have the money to hire a designer and to come into my spare bedroom and be like, how do we make this a cool gothic office for Ashley? So that's the struggle I have.
I have something that's completely off topic.
Oh,
so if you're going to be on topic. Okay, so so back when I was trying to decide a book pick and I chose Delilah Green, I was reading a bunch of other sapphic romances. Just in case you don't know what that means, it's lesbian romances.
Okay.
And I found, the first one I read was called Written in the Stars.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's Pride and Prejudice in Seattle. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. So it, when they're over at Astra, no, I always get them wrong. The other friend... who is the main character in the next book?
Iris.
They're over at Iris's house and they're like looking at all of her books and they describe, it is this one. It's Written in the Stars. It's 100% this book.
Okay, I was wondering which book they were referencing.
It's a real, it just cracked me up because I had just read it and I decided not to choose it for us because it's, I don't like the ending. It ends too abruptly for me. It's very much like a Hallmark Christmas movie, but with gay ladies, and it just ends so quick.
Why would they do that? Like, if you're going to end it, like, put the time to end it right. Don't be like, it's done. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
But I do remember the sex being great in there, too, like Esther does. But anyway, that cracked me up because I was like, they're describing an actual book. And I read it. I just read it. That's all I wanted to say.
That's sweet. Yeah, I liked that whole part where she was like going through her library and like finding books. Like, we're bookish people. I think all of us have a dream of having a library.
So also for a fun fact, I believe sapphic romance, the term sapphic is based off of the lesbian poet Sappho, who is a Greek poet.
Yeah,
and poetry's pretty dope.
I never questioned where that came from.
Yes.
That's neat.
And I actually didn't know that word until Delilah Green, because at one point she says she was reading a sapphic novel. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
So I looked at it, I'm like, oh, what we're reading right now is a sapphic novel.
Well, it's because you said that, like, I didn't actually know, but I assume, so thank you for still clarifying.
We should do, like, I like learning new words. Anyway, I do want to mention real quick, because she's the subject of the next book, Iris?
Iris.
So she's in a hot relationship in this book. And then you find out that that lady was married. Yeah. And that was so sad.
Also, I felt really bad for Iris. But I also felt like it was, and I'm sorry, this is how jaded I am. I felt like it was an overdramatic response to Iris realizing that her girlfriend was married. I mean, don't get me wrong. That sucks.
She had to talk down the wife, though.
I know.
That would be what gets to me.
I'm not saying that that was not a hard thing for her to go through. Yeah. Like, so, yeah. So she's in this relationship with this woman that lives in Seattle, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's coming down to Bright Falls and they're having this, like, romance. And she definitely has, like, some pretty hot sex that Astrid, unfortunately, kind of, like, walks into.
Yeah.
Doesn't walk into, but, like,
she
overhears it because she showed up to a party on time.
5 minutes early.
Oh, but... probably. You know, an Astrid fucking 5 minutes early, right?
Yeah, but damn. They're really cutting that close.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a small little town.
And like no one else heard it. And I really wanted Jordan to come up and hear it too. And for them to have like that awkwardness.
Yeah, I thought that's what was going to happen.
But that's it. It's not what happened. I was so bummed that's not what happened. Because if anything, they could have laughed about it later. Like, oh my God, can you believe we overheard that? Like, but instead just Astrid's all hot and bothered by it like the whole time. And then she's like flirting with Jordan and looking at like sapphic romance novels and being like, I think I might like women, you know, like, so, and then she takes a bunch of romance novels home and plays with her new sex toy collection. You know what I mean? And so, so that like all that going on. So then they're at, was it the party for the Everwood Inn? Like, I don't remember what it was. They're at some party.
That's the very end. Was it the moving party? Because Delilah and Claire moved in together.
That's when
that's what it is.
They're like home party or whatever.
Sure. I was gonna say because there were fancy people there, but I think they were Delilah's New York friends that had flown in. So so they're at what's a big event for Delilah and Claire. Like is, and that's kind of what bothered me. It's like their big move-in party. You know, and then suddenly Iris gets a phone call and she like totally freaks out and then runs away back to her own apartment. And then everyone has to like
abandon the party
to go to be, and they're like, hey, what's wrong? I thought this girl got in a car accident and died. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what happened. Like, what has this reaction where it's not that you're just going in the other room crying and then people come and comfort you. You have to like go home and then like bury yourself in blankets. And then everyone needs to come and be like, sweetheart, what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's mostly Claire, but you know, Delilah's like, what the fuck is wrong with you right now?
Yeah.
And then Iris is just like, she is married. Yeah. Dirtbags are dirtbags, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like that's a big part. Like Ashley Madison is a still functioning website for married people to cheat on their spouse. Like, this is like adultery is, I feel like she was so just like blown away by the fact that people cheat on each other. And like, at least she wasn't cheating on someone. She was unknowingly the other party, you know, like she's not a bad person still. Mm-hmm. Like, and she did have to chat the wife down and that sucks because she shouldn't have been in that situation.
Yeah.
For sure. But I just felt like it was like a big overreaction because I'm like, why are we leaving Claire and Delilah's party for this? Like,
well, and then Delilah goes and then Claire goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that like was their my party. Thing. I definitely felt like at the very least Iris could have left and then maybe Asher would be like, you guys stay. You have this party. I'm going to go check on her when the party ends. Like,
except
Asher was getting busy.
She was. It sucked for her. Yeah. Once she got interrupted,
yeah,
it could have been like, all right, like I'll go check on her. Join me after the party. Because you have fucking people that flew in for this shit to be like, oh my gosh, we're going to end the party early because my friends are in a crisis. I don't know what's going on.
That's what I'm saying.
That's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit. Like, y'all got to stay.
Yeah.
And then you join.
She could have locked herself in a bathroom.
She could have.
And cried. And then they all could have like comforted her there and then not had to leave. Anyway, that just kind of bothered me because I was like, I would be kind of mad if I had to like, if I was hosting a party with people out of town and then it's like, oh, hold on. I have to go. My friend's having a meltdown.
Yeah.
Like I would be like, get your shit together for like 2 minutes. And then we can all have this moment together. But that's not what happened. And also, I love Iris, but I was like, come on.
No, I agree. I also got like a little frustrated more for Astrid. I felt bad for her and I get it, but I still felt bad when she was trying to like communicate to Jordan that she was into her and that she was into women, and Jordan was like, you're just interested because you've never like been with a woman. Like she like just kind of made it like you're just curious, and she was like trying to tell her like no, like that made me feel bad. Like I understand like Jordan not being ready to be in a relationship or to be serious if you're not serious, like I get that. But just like her downplaying her trying to come out to her saying like I think I'm generally interested in women, like that kind of made me a little mad,
which It made me mad, but then like an hour later, Jordan's like, why the fuck did I say that?
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah. She later did, but I just felt bad for Asterix. I was like, oof, like that's a hard thing to admit. Say to anybody.
Yeah. That's a hard thing to admit to yourself.
And like to not even someone that you know well enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like your friends would still be hard, but like your friends are all lesbians, so they would be like welcoming party right there.
That's why she didn't tell Iris, because she's like, she would just like scream. And
yeah. But to like tell someone that you're interested in too, like you're putting yourself out there in a very vulnerable state, and for them to be like, okay, well, don't like, I don't want to be just your plaything just because you're curious. Like, come to me when you're actually. And it's like, okay, well, how many single lesbians are out here that she can just go make out
with? I mean, all of Brainfall.
And she could have, like, honestly, if she was really just curious, she'd be like, hey, I want to make out with one of y'all. Not you, Delilah. But
yeah, no.
This is so random. So this has nothing to do with this book series. I'm coming in hot with this. So there's an Australian show called Deadlock, which is a murder mystery.
Okay.
And I love it. And the idea is that Deadlock is a little town, I believe in Tasmania, which is an island in itself. And so, but for whatever reason, it's never really explained. All of these lesbians moved to Deadlock to basically have a lesbian society.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Yes. But the problem for them is that Deadlock was already a town. So not all the people, like there are people that have lived in this town for like generations, and suddenly it's just like huge influx of like gay women. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, there's a bunch of women here, but none of them want to fuck me, I guess. Like it's like a whole thing. So
it's not a way.
It's mostly fine, but there is a little pushback from some male locals that are like, what is going on? Why are there vaginas on the walls? Like, we don't know what's going on. Like, everyone is very like gay pride happy.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. But it's like the idea that it was just like it's never explained how this happened. It's never explained like why Deadlock was chosen. It's just like a random town in Tasmania on the water. And then like it was just decided amongst the coalition of Australian lesbians that they're going to move to Deadlock and they're going to have this like a lovely sapphic society.
Okay.
So anyway, the show, like the first couple of episodes, I won't lie, are rough because the one woman is just really brash.
Mm-hmm.
And she's from I think Northwestern Territory. I don't remember where. Anyway, point is, I could be wrong, and I'm so sorry if I'm wrong, Australian people, on that placing. But she's from fucking up north, and she's in Tasmania. It's a completely different climate. Like, it's cold. Like, she's just miserable. You know, she wants to be in like shorts and flip-flops, and it's like jeans and sweater weather, you know what I mean? And she's out of her element for sure. And she also just wants, she has some personal stuff going on, and she just wants to get home because of the personal stuff. Instead, she's been sent to fucking Tasmania, and she doesn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. So she's really brash the first couple of episodes, and she's really hard to handle. But please keep watching it, because it was very good, and I hope it gets a season two, because I absolutely loved it. But it's a comedy, even though it's dealing with like a serial killer, basically. Like, anyway, it's really, really funny, and I loved it so much. But anyway, it made me think of that, because like Bright Falls is like, apparently everyone's like a lesbian. It's like, it's a lesbian town in Oregon, you know. There's just a bunch of them, I'm sure. But you know, it's just so funny. It was like, why did we all move to Deadlock? Never explained. it's just understood that this is now like a sapphic haven.
Hilarious. Oh my gosh.
So anyway, just random.
Like,
it's a fun show.
What's it on?
I feel like it's on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
It was on Prime.
Nice.
So it was lovely.
I've got that.
Yeah. So anyway, I loved it. Please enjoy it. I hope you like it.
That's really funny.
I'm really sorry I can't remember where the one police detective is from, that's from up north. But either way, you'll love it. The other one is from Sydney, and she moved from Sydney away from the big city to live in like this little cute Tasmanian town.
Nice.
It's like, imagine Netflix town, only it's Australian, and also there are murders. Nice. And they've got to solve the murders. It's very fun. So anyway, but yes, Bright Falls is just, I'm excited to, you know, for Iris' story to go back there. And I think maybe it's because like Iris, like she broke up with her boyfriend, and book one, Iris has a boyfriend who is lovely.
Yeah.
Great. He's great. Grant. Yeah. We love.
Glad they don't villainize him.
No, you know, because he was wonderful. They just wanted different things in life.
Yeah.
No.
And so they broke up because their lives weren't moving in the same direction, or they didn't want them to move in the same direction.
He wanted kids and she didn't.
And he was also, when she was
little, oh, I get it.
She was definitely a little bit too much in the beginning too, and like definitely kind of a bitch to Delilah, which we understand why, but like he was even like, she seems kind of nice. Like, why are you being this way? Like, I like that he didn't just go along with it, that he actually kind of called her out a little bit and be like, why are you behaving this way? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
but they were together for like 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so I think that was it. Like, they just kind of broke up and we didn't really see Iris grieve that relationship, that like 2 years of her life with Grant.
I don't know that she was that upset. I don't know. Exactly. We don't know.
Exactly. Don't know. But then we have this huge reaction to this woman she's dated for like two months and she's just mostly been having like hot sex with. They're still in the hot sex period of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but this is like a complete meltdown.
Maybe she saw forever though. Like,
maybe she did. Maybe she saw this hot sex forever. That's worth crying about.
I didn't see the relationship of sex forever because we knew like there were problems. Like, that girl was like a attorney, but a defense attorney, right?
For like corporations.
Yeah.
It was like everything that Iris is actually against, but then Iris could like look past it because she was just like in that euphoric state and it was like hot sex. So she could conveniently be like, oh, I know, we just don't talk about it. And it's like, okay, that's not sustainable. Like, we know like eventually that's gonna, the euphoria is gonna wear down. The sex might not, but like you're gonna eventually be like, oh, okay, we are different people. She also lived like further away, like an hour or so away to,
she's in Seattle.
So it's just one of those things. Like, I think we knew, and also like the friends knew this wasn't gonna be like a long term thing, but she was having fun.
Also, there's another book. So it's like this clearly isn't gonna
this
be
couldn't be oh, yeah. This couldn't be again.
I thought when I read this, I didn't know the third book was coming, although I surmised it given context clues.
Yeah.
I thought she was gonna end up with Josh.
Which,
they do at the end, the friends are like, they hang out a lot together, but then they're like, oh no, he's with Emery, I think, at the end. And I was like, well, I know it's not gonna be him because her book has another woman on the cover.
I know, right?
Well, and I also feel like, oof, Josh, like Claire's Josh, like that would be really.
Did I say Josh? I meant Simon. I meant.
Yes.
That's the brother. Yeah.
I was like, hold on, that's not what I got. Yeah,
sorry. No, sorry. I didn't mean Josh.
I was like, I don't think anyone would touch Josh with a 10-foot pole.
That being said, of them.
None of those three, because they know.
But he said, I would be down for Josh's stories. Like,
yeah, I know that's, I kind of do.
Yeah.
I like
this. I know that's not what Ashley Harry Blake so far has written, as she only writes female film romances from the Brightfall series that we've seen so far. Well, just
that, Delilah was her first. LGBT.
Yeah.
So nice.
But I would be super into Josh's story if we did want to write that because, you know,
he seems like a good,
he seems like a good person. Yeah. And like, let's give him a story.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, Simon, I definitely did think maybe that they were going to like have a little something happen. But like, that's cool that he.
Or his story would be fun too.
Yeah. Because he's bisexual too.
Yeah. It would be. So anyway, but that was fun. I had a point. Oh, it was random. It was about dating someone that doesn't work for you, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went out with a hot doctor once, you guys. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I was like 23.
Nice.
And he was very sexy.
I remember
we
this.
Met in a Starbucks.
Yeah.
I do remember this.
And he was like very hot. It was very like meet cute. It was very like rom-com-y. Nice. Mm-hmm. And he picked me up for our date, and which is something I wouldn't do now. But he picked me up for our date, and but I'm glad he did, because that's when I realized he drove a Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not my vibe. All right, you guys. I'm like, I drive a Jeep, to be fair. So I don't drive like a hybrid, I guess, or anything like that. But I'm still very like green. I'm very anti like aggro, like trying to show off your small penis with like a big, compensating with like a big vehicle sort of thing. I don't know. I never saw this guy's anything, so I don't know about that. But, you know, I was very put off by the fact that he was driving like this big, like, car. Mm-hmm. And I brought it up. I was like, oh, I didn't expect this. And he was like, it's a baby Hummer. And I was like, it is bigger than everything on the road, sir. Yeah. Like, this is a lot going on. And then we went and we saw a movie together, and it was a comedy, and it was hilarious, and he didn't laugh at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, did you think that was funny? And I was like, that movie was funny. Like, it's not, did Ashley think it was funny? That movie was just hilarious.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're hot, you're tall, you're a doctor, and this is never gonna work. So shitty, man. You drive like this big gas guzzler, and you don't think my movies that I think are funny are funny. And I'm very sad right now.
That's the thing with doctors. I work with
The thing with doctors.
I love them. They're great. And I have like a lot of them you can joke around with, but some of them are like, they might be really good looking, but their personality is kind of like, they're too smart. that they'd rather watch like only documentaries or only things where they're learning and they're not interested in anything that's not like science based or like fun. Like some of them are like that, not all of them.
Yeah, this but is not about all doctors. Any doctors,
but it is definitely something that I have noticed, you know, with some of them just talking to it. I'm like, this would never work. You know what I mean? So it's just like some of them are like that. And you're like, oh, that's a real bummer.
Yeah. But, yeah. I didn't expect for us to call out doctors as a profession on this podcast.
I went on a date with a doctor one time.
Okay, what?
You got this. It was when I was in school.
Oh, that seems
well, not, after not I graduated. No, after I graduated. Because I remember the hospital was at, like, it was, like, my last day. So I, like, got really used to talking to the doctors even though I was a student, which was interesting. But, like, that's just kind of what my, like, research for me to do, which is cool. And I remember him, like, staring really hard at my, like, badge. Like, which had my first and last name. And then something like a friend request from him.
Oh,
anyway, but he was really cute, and we went to a game, and then half the time he was just responding to emails, so it was like the most boring date ever. We did not go on another one, and then we ran into each other a little bit when I was actually working, and it was a little awkward. Now it was in another state, but I was just like, why would I go on another date with you? Like, you kind of ignored me for half of the date, and I get that you had to respond, but like, dear God, it took fucking forever for you to respond to that. What the hell? Like, it was really like a letdown, not gonna lie.
Yeah. Luckily I was paid attention to on the date. Yeah, it just didn't work. And I feel like we both knew that.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, she was laughing at this movie for idiots. And I was like, he has no sense of humor.
I have a sense of humor. Yeah.
It was a Will Ferrell movie. Who doesn't think Will Ferrell is funny?
I mean, unless it's the Sherlock Holmes movie, that was terrible.
Okay, it was not that. I've never watched that
one. Don't watch it, guys.
It was okay.
Seriously.
Holmes and Watson, was it?
Yeah, no.
I did watch it. I did laugh a little, but I also came with the lowest of low expectations.
I went in
it was
thinking
still not great,
I'm going to love it.
No, see,
and it was the worst.
Aim real low, and then you can find the humor, but still be like, this wasn't great. If you go in high, then you're real disappointed. You know what I mean?
Anyway.
Sidebar aside, I just got to tell you that even though they can be really hot and maybe the sex would have been amazing, I didn't find out. But, you know, maybe, you know, that doesn't mean you can jive with someone forever. At some point, you're like looking
you're
at that person.
Yeah.
And you're like, why am I with you?
I also, real quick, I feel like we've done a good job, like, we're pretty much near the end, but I want to mention Isabel. So Isabel's the monster of, like, all these books. I appreciate that they didn't have them end perfect at the end.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking, but it's not like, oh, everything's fixed. It's like, no, like, you're still a monster, but you're my mom, so I guess I'll talk to you. A part of me wanted her to, like, cut her out because I don't think Isabel's ever going to change.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I get it. I just like that they didn't fix it.
I will say, a part I liked of that conversation where she, like, Astrid is completely shut down at this point. She's shuttered her business.
Yeah.
She's no longer going to be a designer. She's going to be a baker, apparently, because every town needs three bakeries. And that's her passion. She's determined. And that I like that whole storyline and her whole finding herself journey. I really liked it. And her mom is very concerned by this behavior, obviously. And she comes by to basically tell her that she's trying to sell the business. So she's got some buyers and mostly to check in on her. And she has that conversation. And I love when she tells Isabel, like, you don't even love me. And that shocks Isabel to her core. She's like, what do you mean you don't think I love you? And she's like, you don't love me. You love control and you love me being who you want me to be. You don't love who I am. And I like that moment because if anything's going to make Isabel actually change, it's the fact that I don't think until that moment, she knew that Astrid felt that way.
No.
Or even probably like Delilah, I don't think she would care, but you know, like the fact that that's her own daughter's takeaway is you actually don't love me. And I think that is the thing that shook her. And that's the only thing that gives me hope that she'll make any changes going forward.
Me too.
Because, I mean, it was very obvious in that moment that she does love, in her fucked up way, she does love Astrid. And she doesn't want to lose Astrid, you know? Yeah. And she's got to reconcile. Like, they need therapy together. Like, she's got to reconcile how she's been treating her daughter this whole time and how she should change that to move forward.
Yeah.
Because she's been very damaging. But I don't even think she's been aware of it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
With that. I like to think there's hope.
Yeah.
You know, that she's trying to, now that she knows that, like, start small, trying to rebuild the relationship. And I thought that it was nice that she was a lot kinder to Jordan when she came by.
Yeah.
Because now, I mean, And it was nice that she didn't seem like she really cared that much about her being a lesbian. Like, yeah, I'm sure she's disappointed she didn't have the kid, but she kind of was like, okay. You know what I mean? It wasn't, she was just like,
I feel like she probably did care.
Yeah, but afterwards,
it's more about perspective.
Yeah. Perceptions. But now, like, after all of this, she's just kind of like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, accepting of it, even if it's not what she wants. Like, at this point, like, you literally have no leg to stand on. Like, you better accept her for what she is if you ever want her in your life.
Yeah.
And to realize as a parent, even if it's not what you envision for your kid, you need to start rectifying that if you ever want to have a future with them.
And that's like every parent envisions something for their child.
Okay. Yeah,
like exactly. not necessarily I envision you straight with 12 children, you know, or something. Like I doubt anyone envisions that for their kid. But you know, like but you have like an envision of what you hope their life will be, what you want their life to be. You want them to be successful, you want them to be happy, you want them to be well off in you know, Astrid's situation, you know. You have like this. But the problem is that you have to understand that that's just in your own head and that's not reality and that can change, you know? And I think that's like the adjustment when parents are shocked with big revelations is how do I accept? It's not accepting necessarily the child. It's accepting that their vision of what they wanted is not going to come into fruition. You know, like they have to change their vision. And they've been thinking of that vision since before you were born, like, but since before they learned it's a boy or it's a girl and I'm going to name her Astrid. And like from that moment, Isabel Parker Green, it wasn't Green yet, but Isabel Parker started picturing Astrid's life. And it included Spencer and it included like the house and the kids and everything. And so to just suddenly be like, hey, Isabel, I know for 30 years you've envisioned this for me and you've been trying to get me to fulfill your dream. Your dream is not what I want.
It's not what I want.
And then that's like, mind breaking. So, but I hope they get there and I don't know how much we'll get of them in Astrid's story, if at all.
I could see it being like a small passing kind of thing, like Astrid coming to meet with them. How did it go with Isabel or something like that? Like some kind of little conversation, like, oh, we're doing better. We had a really nice lunch. Like I could see it being something to that degree and I'm okay with that. I don't need like a huge thing, but it would be nice to see a little snippet of like, hopefully things are still going well.
Yeah.
Do you think in the next book, we'll get Delilah and Claire's wedding?
Oh, that'd be so sweet. What? Yes. Let's do that.
That'd be cute. At least an engagement.
And like, maybe they have to like go together, her and that girl, whatever girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be really cute. That'd be really, really cute.
Yeah.
Like that.
Anyway. We'll find out. But it would be fun. What if she was one of Delilah's New York friends?
What? Ooh, that'd be cool.
Oh, like the love interest?
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
Because we don't know who the love interest is.
And no, I don't think there's a picture, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we get a preview at the end of this book? If so, I did not read it.
I did on Audible.
I didn't think I had
one. I didn't have one in my book. I looked.
And that's fine, but come on.
I'm going to assume there's a theater involved because of the curtains. So we're looking at the picture.
Yeah.
The cover.
Yeah.
I could just read the preview, but
we won't.
We don't have time.
No.
So, but we're very excited for that book. So how would we rate Astrid Parker Doesn't Fail?
I'd give it a 4.
I don't remember what I rated Delilah.
I think we rated Delilah out of 4 or 4.5.
I'm going to say 4. To 4.25. I just really like these.
Yeah,
they're fun.
Because they're fun and they're happy. Yeah. And
they are fun and happy. I'm going to say 4 because of the ghost.
The biggest letdown of all.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Iris tries out for the lead in a community theater production, a queer community theater production of Much Ado About Nothing.
Nice.
Whoa.
I'm in.
I love Much Ado About Nothing.
Such a good one.
Yeah.
Anyway. That'll be fun. I'm excited for that.
Yes.
Oh, and it's a fake girlfriend trope.
Oh, I love that too. Do you think she'll play Beatrice? Oh, I hope she plays Beatrice. I love Much Ado About Nothing. You guys
so do. Good.
Well, thank you guys for joining us on this podcast. I hope you had fun and that you enjoyed this book too. Please join us next month where we read, or next podcast posting, whatever I post is out, we read A Curse for True Love. And then, you know, again, whenever we read Iris's book, which may be after that one, we don't really know yet, but please join us and thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.